The question is, how do you address extremism in the broadest context in a way that will actually make people feel safer when they go to a concert or they're walking across a bridge or they're in a street fair someplace?
That's Christopher Dickey, world news editor for The Daily Beast. He's been looking into that question following recent terrorist attacks in cities including Berlin, Stockholm, Manchester, and of course London this weekend. We'll hear more from Christopher in a moment. First, though, here's some of what British Prime Minister Theresa May has been saying since Saturday's attack about how she wants to counter extremism, and it includes eradicating what she calls the evil ideology of Islamist extremism.
It will only be defeated when we turn people's minds away from this violence and make them understand that our values, pluralistic British values, are superior to anything offered by the preachers and supporters of hate.
That's a bold ideal. That's great as an election year or election campaign remark, but it doesn't really make people safer. And when you're talking about the broad ideological questions, those are not going to affect very quickly the actual safety of people on the streets. That is going to take a whole different approach because fighting terrorism is multi-layered. Part of it is the ideological battle of against extremism, which the West has been very poor at fighting. But part of it is intelligence work in a broad sense in terms of surveillance and penetration with informers and with police agents. And part of it is last-ditch defensive measures in places that are likely to be targets. So all of those things have to take place at the same time.
I mean, in the short term, to interrupt recruitment and radicalization, Prime Minister May mentioned in her comments the need for the UK to take a really deep dive into regulating the online space where she says recruitment happens. What do you think is the most important thing that can be done in the short term?
I think in the short term, we have to understand that the intelligence services, domestic and international, do have to conduct a lot of surveillance. They are going to have to look very closely at the communications of lots of people. If you look, for instance, at the way the Israelis have been fighting terrorists over the last several years, one of the things they do is to data mine social media in order to find what people are saying and to focus in on certain actors, and then they arrest them preemptively. Now, we probably will all worry about whether we have to look over our shoulder to see whether the government is spying on us, but we have to hope that the government is spying on enough of the right people to keep terrorist attacks from happening. That's one part of it. Second part of it is that we have to reorganize the defenses around what are likely targets. You know, when you have a big event that is a possible terrorist to target, and we have to take into account that now that almost any big event, any place where there's a crowd could be a terrorist target, then you have to do something more than have one guy standing with a metal detector at the door. Because among other things, that just creates a long line, and the line itself becomes the target.
Right.
So essentially what it means is you have to have more undercover security and police officers working the crowd and looking at the scene, aware of the kinds of tells that even the most poker-faced terrorist might have. It's basically one of the things that the Israelis do. And while the Israelis may not have succeeded, in fact, I would say have not succeeded, in addressing the overall ideological and religious and cultural problems, they have become very good at addressing the short-term security issues that surround any particular events or locations.
As for the rest of us who are not used to those Israeli kind of methods, as far as privacy and free movement, you think we're just going to have to deal with it for the short term?
I think we're going to have to deal with it in the medium term. I don't think it's going to go away quickly. One of the dangers, though, is that governments, once they get accustomed to this kind of power, this kind of invasiveness, are very reluctant to give it up. And so we have to guard our freedoms, but we have to understand that for a certain time, we're going to have to compromise them as well.
Christopher Dickey is world news editor for The Daily Beast. He was speaking with us from Paris.